Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonnewell, along with Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by...
Well, Party Friday. And here on a Party Friday, brought to you by happytrees.co and also Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. All kinds of stuff to talk about today. Steve Bannon was found guilty. You know, was Lois Lerner and Eric Holder, were they found guilty of contempt of Congress when they refused to testify? No, they weren't. Why? They were never even charged. Huh, go figure. Donald Trump, the libs are freaking out because Donald Trump, Axios, so who knows the truth of this, but has a leaked report of what Trump plans to do if he's president, which includes cutting 50,000 administrative service jobs, like those guys who charged Steve Bannon. So that's a good idea. But want to start off with our good friend, law enforcement expert, former El Paso County Sheriff Investigator.
And platinum member.
And platinum member of Topgolf, Mark Poff. You see, Mark and Chuck both wearing baseball caps
today.
We're
out there smacking Whitey.
That's right.
That's hilarious.
Mark, yeah, I know. I know. So you guys are working hard this summer, right? It's on your golf swing. Yeah. Hey, Mark, thank you for your time. Appreciate it again.
Hey, no worries. Love to do it.
A programming note, we're going to be off next week. Speaking of golf, Chuck has a big golf tournament and I have to be the supportive spouse riding around in the golf cart, drinking wine or Tito's vodka, whichever. So that's crucial. So Mark is going to be filling in for us. Maybe I should have said we were solving world peace or something like that. That makes it seem.
Well, we are in our own way.
In our own way. But let me start off by talking to you. A little bit about, we want to play the videotape of that New York Republican candidate getting attacked and then the guy released on bond. But before that, I wanted to ask you about this, because I know you have relatives in law enforcement. You were in law enforcement forever. There was a report out recently in Denver that they said there are hundreds of police and sheriff positions that need to be filled and they just can't fill them. I mean, did you see that? To me, it's like a no-brainer as to why, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, like you said, it's a no-brainer. Being in law enforcement used to be somewhat sought out. Yeah. You know, people really wanted to be in law enforcement. They thought, you know, I always used to joke, you know, that we work for God, that integrity and all this other stuff. But you know what? If people don't appreciate you, I actually made the decision about the time of 9/11 to go into law enforcement full time. I was actually a reserve deputy. And on 9/11, someone pulled an assault rifle on me. So it was kind of my big event. And I actually took it from them hand to hand. And after 9/11, everybody really appreciated law enforcement. Right. You could go into a Walmart in uniform and everyone's like, hey, thanks for what you do. Now I feel like you're in law enforcement. It's like coming back from Vietnam.
Yeah.
So, it's just totally that pendulum has completely switched and it's going to come back. You know, something's going to happen and everybody's going to love cops again. But I'll tell you, the worst thing that can happen to law enforcement is not being appreciated.
Yeah.
If you don't think that somebody's got your back or are going to be there for you, there's so many. I used to always say, for every one thing that can go right, there's 99 things that can go wrong.
Yes.
And if you work through a scenario and you have to shoot your weapon and you hit the bad guy and you don't hit anybody else, that's a great day, but cops are actually not good shots. And I know we're going to talk about this.
Let me go. Let's go segue.
That's the next thing. But why would you get into law enforcement now? I mean, there's just no reason to do it. Again, it has to be a calling. It's like, 20, 30 years ago, why would someone get into nursing? They were so unappreciated, underpaid, teaching. Great example right now again. So it's just the pendulum switch. But I fear so much for my daughter and her husband about the events. She'll text me and say, hey, there's been another shooting. And I'm like, are you guys involved?
Yeah, you okay? Yeah.
Because you never know if you're going to get sued is another thing.
And there was a time when I just said, yeah, where you would say, are you okay? Now you say, right. Are you involved? Yeah. Right? Because it's more dangerous, you know, to be involved. And let me talk that.
Well, it's been, you know, a tough period for law enforcement altogether. And maybe the last, you know, period of time has been the worst, because not only are peace officers being indicted, sometimes on not the greatest grounds, but also you have events like Uvalde, where you have the entire law enforcement apparatus of Texas coming out as utter cowards and incompetence.
You just did my promo for Monday.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about Uvalde in that videotape. I cannot believe my eyes. And you always think as a cop, you know, I had a couple high stressful events, obviously on 9/11. I never can forget that, because a guy pulled an assault rifle on me on a traffic stop and I fought, you know, I saw this guy start to pull a weapon and it was like, hey, okay, game on. So I was kind of proud of myself afterwards. I should have just I should have deployed my weapon, but I chose to fight him hand to hand. And that really wasn't the best strategy, because I was righteous in just shooting him. But again, I fought. So I didn't flee. I didn't run behind my patrol car and shoot over my back as I'm running away. you know, so I felt good about that from the standpoint that for me, when I went through a high stress situation, I handled it, you know, willing to be able to fight in that situation. What I saw in Uvalde just literally scared the crap out of me. And we're going to, John St. Augustine and I are going to talk about that in detail on Monday, because I just can't believe it.
Yeah. Well, and then let me talk about then another situation, which I told you we wanted to talk to you about. And that was recently in Denver. So there was a guy, a report of a guy with a gun and some kind of altercation as the bars were letting out. And that's a crowded, chaotic scene. I've covered those. I haven't actually, it's been a long time since I've been at a bar 2 a.m. let out. But at any rate, they are chaotic and there are a ton of people there. Everyone's drunk, right? So it's a confusing situation. Some guys fighting. So the Denver cops show up. They think they see the guy. They're assuming he's pulling out a gun. They shoot. They hit the guy. But they also hit apparently six bystanders also.
And that's about right.
Yeah.
The reason it's about right is most cops will put one target for every seven. They'll put one bullet out of seven on target.
Whoa.
So that's about right. You know, they shot, you know, six innocent bystanders and the right guy. So this is kind of an interesting scenario of when is a cop justified in shooting at someone? And it is tricky. And they run you through scenarios. I want you to go through this, because this is kind of my own personal event through this. They try to run you through these high stress situations, which they can never generate the reality.
Right.
So you're down at the range and they're making us go through this scenario one at a time. They usually make you run around in circles to get your adrenaline up or something, or tell you that Biden won as the president. That usually will create an adrenaline dump. And then they ram me into the scenario. And so you come around the corner and there's two paper targets, one kind of half covering the other one. And you can see the front target is a woman holding a baby or something like that. And the target in the back is somebody with a gun. And he's being, you know, he's behind the person. And the instructor says, the guy in the back has the gun pointed at the female, and he's telling you to drop your weapon. What are you going to do?
Oh.
And now I already had my weapon out on a low ready, because that's where the scenario started. I raised my weapon and shot him. Didn't even hesitate.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, stop. You know, it's like the whole place went crazy when I did. I didn't even hesitate.
Uh-huh.
And he said, what on earth? I mean, there was profanity there. What are you doing? And I said, well, before you judge me, let's look where the bullet went. You know, let's go look at the targets before you judge me. He goes, I don't need to look at the targets. This is a no shoot scenario. And I said, I want to look at the target. So we went and looked at the target. I just barely grazed her arm and dead center mass on the bad guy. And I'm like, hello.
Hello.
You know, where I got my pay raise. And you know, they went crazy, because that's a complete no shoot scenario. And they said, look, there's no collateral damage in law enforcement. The problem is, and I want to go through this so everybody understands the training.
Okay.
There's five rules in shooting your weapon. Or, you know, they always say keep the finger off the trigger. You know, Chuck, you probably went through this when went through the training. One of the things they always say is be aware of your target and beyond.
Right.
Now there's three cops there. They're not standing next to each other. They hopefully are kind of spread out. All three of them get a different perspective of this individual who potentially, who did have a weapon. I think right. they said later on that he did have a weapon. And the problem is if one person decides to shoot because his target and beyond is clear, the other two are going to shoot too.
Always.
It's called sympathetic shooting. It's like, hey, my partner's shooting. For God's sakes, I need to shoot. Right. Well, the other two may not have had a good background. Uh-huh. Right. It may be that all three of them didn't have a good background. And just because someone points a weapon at you, if you don't have a clear background, you're really not, you shouldn't be shooting. But here's the scenario. The cops are going to say, which they've already done, it's a good shooting. We love that term, right, Chuck?
Yeah, yeah,
it's
good shooting.
It's a good shooting. Not a legal shooting. It's a good shooting.
That's what the lawyers are all saying, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and innocent bystanders get shot all the time, and they can't even sue, which is unfortunate. You know, there was a big shooting down in Colorado Springs where a deputy actually was shot and killed. And I think I told you guys when I was here before, that's a bad shooting. I'll tell mm-hmm. you that from the beginning. The cops never identified themselves as law enforcement. One cop came up behind the suspect and bear hugged him.
Yeah.
Never identifying that they were cops. Well, yeah, he pulls his gun out because he's a gangbanger. He's like, is this another gang? Who are these people? And starts shooting. The cops return fire, you know, and now we got a little shootout at the OK Corral. They never identified themselves as law enforcement, and an innocent bystander is paralyzed for the rest of his life. Yeah. A cop's killed, two other cops are shot. That's not how you do a felony contact. It was completely out of policy, completely out of their training. They're never going to get sued.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not going to happen. So in this situation, the question is, you know, is this a good shooting? I don't know.
Yeah.
But obviously it wasn't the greatest because innocent bystanders got shot.
Right, right. And it's you know, talking about those no shoots, to me, this is a tricky, complicated situation, which they all are, right? It's not an easy one. I, years ago, went through the shoot, don't shoot kind of thing as a reporter, and they had people pop up, right?
Right, right.
The first time through, I was killed like immediately, right? Because I didn't shoot. The second time through, I killed everything, right? Cats, puppies, babies, orphans, you know, I mean, if it popped up, I shot it, you know? And it was, I mean, and it was an eye opener for me because you realize, okay, you know, you have that. It's one thing when you're walking down the street, la, 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 and then you don't want to shoot anyone. But when people have actually fired at you, or you've been in that situation, sort of changes your perspective. So it's a good thing I'm not
the
a
one
cop,
that was but. Maybe the most incredible lately was the one at the grocery store where the Good Samaritan came out and from 50 yards managed to hit 8 out of 10 or where it's some amazing amount right. of the Glock. I mean,
the one in Indianapolis. The food court, in Indianapolis shopping mall. And now the liberals are going crazy because, hey, there was a sticker on the door saying that you can't have weapons. And it's
excellent.
But well, so someone should have told the shooter, oh my gosh, this is a gun free zone. You can't be bringing weapons in. And thank goodness that he did. And they all want to go on to, well, geez, did he break the law? The answer is no. But you know, New York, as soon as the Supreme Court ruled that they couldn't do what they did, they passed another law that says that you can't carry a weapon in any store unless they put a sign on it that says you can carry weapons in here. Now, I don't see Sears and Roebuck putting a sign on their door that says guns welcome.
Right.
You know, so New York again, and it'll take 2 or 3 years for the Supreme Court to strike it down. But I mean, thank goodness for this Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
You know, who did make an incredible shot. I can tell you, I have Glocks. I love Glocks. They're excellent weapons. Shooting a Glock at 50 feet or it was
50 yards.
If it was 50 yards, that's impossible. But
we
actually did at one point take Glocks to 100 yards just to see, you know, to show that you can't hit anything at 50, you know, at 100 yards. But it's a miracle shot.
Yeah,
it is what it is. You know, so why don't we just say thank God, you know, that everything worked out. And they're saying, well, he really didn't do a good enough job because three people died anyway. So it's like, that's the craziness of the liberals that can't deal with this because they need to be driving Teslas.
Right. If they're not driving a Tesla. And here we go. So Jacob is saying, pointed out, and I'll read the comments here in a second. The Aurora Theater was a gun-free zone. And let me catch up. This is nice from Sandra. She says she loves it when you and John St. Augustine are on. She's looking forward to Monday. And now Jacob is getting into the Lee Zeldin case, which I'm going to talk about this too. So folks aren't aware, yesterday, a New York representative, Republican candidate, Lee Zeldin, was speaking, and a 43-year-old guy came up and tried to attack him with a sharp something or other, right?
I know what it is he attacked him with because I've seen this weapon before.
Okay, well let me then.
It's the cat.
Okay.
What they do is they want females. This is where it came from. They want females to put this on their key rings,
right?
And it actually, where the eyes are of the cat, that actually has two like Batman ears that go straight up, and that's the pointy part. I actually saw the picture on the internet yesterday, and you put your fingers through these two holes that are the eyes of the cat, and it can do serious damage. This whole device was supposed to be cute, so females could put them on their key rings, but then the female knows that they're just supposed to be used as a weapon. It's your keychain. And then you poke them with it, you know, and so this was for women's self-defense. But is it a hate crime? Absolutely. I think he hated them.
Right. Well, let me play.
That's how you attack him. You hated him.
What I love is you'll watch a local channel saying, okay, after the 10-person murdering and 5 wounded and so forth, the guy is going to be charged with a hate crime. Oh, great. Wow.
Yeah, that makes all the difference in the world.
Care of it.
Well, let me roll this video and get you to come in that, because the outrageous thing is, before I think, you know, the speech was even over, the guy was already free and a person of a cognizance bond, which is like a pinky swear that he'll come back. So, Thomas, if we could please play the attack video.
You're done. There's only one option.
You're done.
The candidate predicted, he said he'll be released under New York's no bail or bail reform laws. He's going to be released. And sure enough, he was released in a personal recognizance bond. Now, my position is that they charged him with, and I wanted to get first your opinion on this, second degree attempted assault. Now, that looked like an actual assault to me. It didn't look Chuck, it's not attempt.
They can't help themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's because you don't actually, and actually you can see that device that I was telling you about in his hand, that little kitty thing with the ears up.
Right.
I don't see where he actually hits.
So maybe that's why it's attempt. Let me ask you this.
I mean, they're going to do whatever thing, you know, he keeps.
What if he
to me, he's definitely attacking them. It should be felony menacing. In Colorado, there'd be a whole bunch of, you know, the thing is, as a good law enforcement officer, you know, they refer to it as racking and stacking charges.
Yeah.
They can look at this video and say, okay, what all crimes did he commit? That's the way I would look at the video and say, okay, what crimes did he commit?
Right.
They're looking at it saying, okay, what's the minimum we can charge him with?
Yeah, right.
Well, let me ask you this. What if it had been a Republican, a Trump supporter, a guy in a MAGA hat doing that to AOC speaking? Do you think that they
think he'd be released? Their security would probably have shot him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And that would have been the end of it. And they may have charged AOC with littering, but it would have been so drastically different. It would have been a hate crime right up the bat, because obviously if you attack someone who's Hispanic or Black or a minority, it's a hate crime.
Right.
So that's the definition of hate crime, is white person attacks somebody else.
Right.
And you know, it's very rare when you see it the other way. So it's just interesting. But he was out.
I mean, if you're a cop, what do you make of that, right? I mean, these bail reform, well, because I guess a couple of things. One, the guy's clearly a little bit unhinged, right?
He's having some stress problems.
The guy clearly is having some issues. So that's, I mean, bond is the kind of thing, it's supposed to, number one, you know, one of the things, maybe not number one, but one of the points of having bond is to keep the person from causing more harm. I think you could look at that videotape and the circumstances there and say, this guy, I don't know that he's so safe to have, like,
just And actually what they could have done, I mean, I can only really comment on the state of Colorado. I'm sure they have the same thing in New York. If they were going to let him out of jail, they should have had a van right outside to take him to a mental hospital.
Yeah.
Right.
They could have put him in a 72-hour hold.
Right.
Is this guy a harm to himself and others?
Yes.
Right.
Well, actually, I would say this. If this had been a Republican who attacked AOC with a MAGA hat on, he would have been charged federally.
Right.
He would have taken to a federal prison. We never would have seen him again.
Yes. Right.
And he would have not gotten bond at all.
No.
And he probably would have said, you know what? He was thinking about the Capitol building. So we should probably charge him about that.
Exactly. You know,
he's clearly an insurrectionist.
Well, yeah.
Insurrectionist. I
mean, it's kind of funny. In New York, the same people, the same laws, the guy who was at the store who like stabbed the guy in self-defense, he's arrested for like murder, right? And then this guy was actually trying to, I mean, they let him go in PR. I guess I just like to talk about these because I think it cannot be emphasized enough to folks how dangerous these Democrats and these liberals are making our communities by letting people like this back out immediately on a PR bond.
Right.
Because let's just go through, what do we think the odds are that this guy's going to show up for his next court appearance? I mean, why would he? Why would you?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know specifically about this individual.
Right.
I can tell you just, you know, him, someone who's willing to get up on a stage, and this whole phrase of "you're done."
Right.
I mean, I can see there's potentially some mental illness there.
Right.
What they need to be doing is making sure that he is mentally sound. Like I said, he should have been transferred to a mental hospital to see if he's, you know, could be cleared. But the problem is, and this may be something that I talk about on Wednesday, I just can't get past the whole defund police thing again.
Right.
You know, some people are trying to alienate themselves from it, and some are trying to double down and embrace it. You know, and this whole bail reform is absurd. It is totally ridiculous. And bonds are actually one of the few things that I don't think the Supreme Court's actually taken up, because they've never considered something to be abusive when it comes to bonds. And again, are the bonds for them or are they for me?
Right.
And the thing that really sets me off, especially in the state of Colorado, is whenever you're let out on bond, you sign something saying, okay, I won't break the law when I'm out on bond. I'll be a good boy when I'm out on bond.
Right.
So there's another charge, violation of bond conditions or something like that, which is what they're trying to arrest the one clerk from the one county on, because she was out
right,
on
Tina
bond.
Peters, right.
Yeah, so they're willing to go after her.
Oh, yeah,
they'll
exactly
go after her, you know, like there's no tomorrow. But so if somebody like this guy or someone the second time, you know, then you say, okay, it's $1, it's $1.50 this time.
Yeah,
right.
We'll show you.
That's ridiculous. If you violate bond, you're done. You know,
right.
You need to go back and sit in jail, you know, or raise it way up. And that's one of the things that we used to always say is, look, originally this was $1,000 bond. They're out on bond. They now committed this other crime. We want to elevate it to $50,000.
Right.
You know, and the right. judges are like, oh, yeah, you bet. You bet.
Right.
You know, if they can't live by the rules.
Now it's like,
you know,
each crime is completely separate, right? I mean, we've talked about that for
right.
years. Well, listen, we're almost out of time with you. So let me, like I said, you're going to be filling in, and thank you for doing that. I'm sorry to intervene in your Top Golf time, but maybe as a platinum
member. I got my time in. I
okay.
got my time.
Okay.
But I do want to, so I've already told you Monday is Evaldi. Tuesday, we're probably going to be talking about defund the police and some other stuff. I always like to talk about grand juries and what a joke that is.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Friday, I'm going to try something really new, and we need to get Thomas ready that if it doesn't work, he needs to play a best of Chuck and Julie. Because I'm going out to the ranch where my cattle is. I don't have any cattle right now, but to my good buddy, Chuck, he's been a cattle rancher and a farmer in the state of Colorado, in Eastern Colorado, for about 50 years, 40 some years. And I want to talk with him because he tells me all kinds of stuff. And I'm going to reach for this. I want to talk about this too. This is a form. I don't want you to get too, because I want to explain this on Friday.
Okay.
This form has to do with, because of the drought and some other stuff, they're going to refund some costs and stuff back. Like if you borrowed money from the feds and things like that, but you get more money if you're not a white male.
Actually,
it's right in the form where it talks about. So if you're Hispanic, if you're Black, if you're a female, if you're a female Asian, it's really good.
Right.
That you get an extra 15%.
Wow.
All right. The money. So I want to talk about that and then just talk to him about fertilizer. He has probably has 3,000 to 5,000 head of cattle. It's all beef cattle. See, someone's already interested. It's all beef cattle, but I'm going to take all my equipment here that I use for podcasting. I'm going to take it out to his ranch, to his office where he has Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I've already tested it. What could go wrong? Other than the fact that I've told them I'm going out there. It's also the location of the largest serial killer in the state of Colorado. So we'll talk about that too.
That's where you're going?
His ranch was the site before he bought it of the largest serial killer. If you search Tom McCormick, serial killer, Packer? Colorado. That's who he bought the land from, the bank who repossessed it from Tom and Mike McCormick, where there was the largest serial. There's serial bodies killing. Buried all along this property, which is why stuff grows so well.
Yeah, really. That sounds like Chuck. Years ago, I was covering a thing and Scott Lee Kimball, and it was a house up by where I used to live in Broomfield, where he had murdered people and buried bodies and things like that, right? And then the house went into foreclosure, and Chuck's like, hey, we should put some money down on that. I'm like, yeah, he said we could get a good deal on that. I'm like, no, not buying a house. We are just out there digging, planting flowers. Oh, here's another body.
Exactly. And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the serial killing stuff. We'll talk about his ranching and farming and what all he's going through right now, and the flight or the plight or whatever the right word is of the small farmers in Colorado.
All right, Mike, that sounds like a wonderful week.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll take time off and watch it.
And watch it. Chuck at the end of the golf cart. All right. Thanks so much.
Right, you're great, Mark, as always.
You're great. We'll see you later. Thank you. Johnny Johnson, who's running, says he'd split the money with his white friend. There you go. Okay. Now we want to switch gears. I think Casper there too. And Casper, if you're still listening, I may go ahead and let you introduce your candidate if you want. But Casper Stockham, who helps train candidates, provides candidate training, said, hey, you got to get the Arapahoe County Coroner Republican candidate.
Well, our goal for this election season, since very few of the people who we wanted got past the massive Anschutz Bucks parade. And so we wanted to get some good grassroots people. And Casper said, I've got one. He said, bring them on.
Yeah. So we just got back from Heidi's campaign launch. Yeah. She was rolling out her lieutenant governor, Danny Moore, and Ron Richard was there as well. The person I'm going to introduce you to, he's on the line, I believe.
Yes, he is.
So, hey, Ron, you need to make your camera.
Go ahead because he already checked it out. If you want to go ahead and turn your camera on, he's got a very cool background, and unmute yourself. You can go ahead and do that. While he's doing that, Casper, you know what? I was reading some of the Twitter feeds. All of the reporters know the camera's blocked. Okay, can you just unmute your audio?
There you go.
All right, well, Reverend, I'll ask you my question about the reporters are just ridiculous in their treatment of Heidi and the Republicans. But I'll let you go ahead and introduce your candidate.
Absolutely. So Ron Richard is running for Arapahoe County Coroner. He's a phenomenal candidate, a lot of experience in the medical industry and very much aware of what's going on and definitely wants to shine a light on things that are happening, you know, when it comes to our not just our healthcare, but that whole industry. You know, for the longest time, we have almost ignored the coroner office because it seemed like it was just kind of course, we have a coroner and we don't even know who they are. But because of COVID and because of the vaccines, the coroner's office has become the one of the most important offices that we can elect someone to.
Right.
Because we need to make sure that people are that the coroner is not just signing off on these deaths and stuff. They're looking into it. Exactly, to make sure. So Ron is that guy. So I'm excited to be able to introduce you to him. I'm also his campaign manager as well. So Ron is here.
Ron,
why don't you tell us about yourself, your background, and why you decided to run?
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Chuck and Julie. So, well, I've got a lot of little stories, which is fun to talk about. So a little bit about myself first. I'm a basic science researcher, and my acumen is microscopy, so the use of microscopes. My wife and I moved here in 2000. We both worked at LSU. I worked at LSU in the microscopy and imaging core there before I came to work for the VA Medical Center here in Colorado in 2000. So I have extensive background in looking for things that are small and that can't be found unless you really look. The Lord weighed upon my heart last year when both my parents passed away out in Texas, and I had to relocate for a period of time and help with their situation. The coroner's office and the funeral home were like instrumental in helping me. And I don't think people really think about this because no one really talks about those things. It was just a fascinating learning experience. And when I came home, I told my wife, I said, you know, the Lord has something weighing on my soul that I'm supposed to be doing something more. Huh. And when we were at caucus, they said, no one's running for coroner. And the Lord put upon my heart, guess what, Ron, you're running for coroner. And so I'm looking forward to the opportunity of bringing science to the desk. My experience is with apoptosis, and that's programmed cell death. I'm on over 41 peer-reviewed scientific journals and publications, primarily around Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, MS, diabetes. And a lot of these diseases are because of toxins in the environment or toxins in the body that cause cell death or bad things that happen in your body. Hmm. And we're seeing that now on a grand scale. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I'm extremely concerned about the products that are being given to people, especially our children. The children should not be getting any of these products. And I want to help be a part of bringing to light education to everybody so we all understand what it is that we're experiencing.
Well, that makes you, so you're running against the incumbent coroner. And one thing too, I think people should.
Who's a Democrat,
Who's a Democrat, right, yeah. And one thing, having done, covered coroners and things, I think in Denver, the coroner is actually an appointed position, but everywhere else it's an elected position. And I'm glad to see people like you getting in because, you know, George Soros took over DA's offices when no one was looking. He took over secretaries of state offices when no one
county
was looking.
County clerks.
And you know that as more and more questions come up surrounding the COVID vaccines, sooner or later, somebody's going to go, hey, we need to get in charge of that too. You know, because I mean, we've seen case after case where the coroner said, oh yeah, COVID death. And then it had nothing. It was a gunshot wound kind of thing. Right.
So really, there's so many ironies. So every day, everywhere I go, I meet hundreds of people and people are really concerned. People want answers. And a few weeks back, I actually ran into a lady. She's here on vacation from Virginia. She works for the DEA. And she told me that our DEA office here in Colorado is getting ready to launch a statewide task force to investigate coroner's offices and forensic pathologists because they're not reporting what's going on.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Well, I'm going to ask Casper a question, then we'll get back to you, Ron. So Casper, I think, like, you know, not a lot of people pay attention to the coroner's office. What kinds of things do you foresee? I mean, they talk about a red wave, but it's Arapahoe County. It's an incumbent. Talk to me about what you think the chances are and some of the challenges and yet some of the opportunities here.
Well, the challenges are, as they always are, in a blue leaning county. You know, we got to get the word out. So he definitely needs a lot of help and support with donations. You know, we're ordering literature right now. We're getting the campaign really up to speed, but it's going to be upon us to get the word out, to connect with the folks. A lot of folks are in this in-between spot, right? Because they may have gotten the vax, but now they're like, really, should I have done that? And, you know, they're kind of not really sure. So we have to walk a thin line because you also don't want to piss people off. You know, I mean,
right.
There are some people that believe that they should have gotten the vaccine. So, you know, we have to be careful how we approach that because it's such a very sensitive topic, right? Even a lot of Republicans are like, no, that vaccine is really good. I just heard the other day that they have immunity forever when it comes to these vaccines, forever. Why would we give any company immunity forever
something that we're putting into our body?
I think exactly. People get immunity.
Ironically, the people have no immunity, yeah, but the company does. Well, Ron, let me ask you back to what you said, because I think that's pretty
good. Well, let me ask you a couple things. I mean, as a practical matter, you know, you're dependent upon the Republican Party going out and ringing doorbells and bringing votes in. I mean, it's hard as a coroner. You don't head the ticket. But you've got this time where the people who usually go out, the PCPs and all that, all their candidates got killed. The grassroots people. And so I guess Phil Anschutz is hired Victor Kamensing to go out there and try to get state legislators elected. But how does it, you know, when you're not really the one people are generally voting for, if they vote Republican generally, then they'll vote, you know, for the coroner's office. It's seldom that people tend to kind of go, oh yeah, the coroner's office, you know, it's their political. So how does that, when you campaign, that's gotta be not an easy task.
No, it's not. And I, you know, and I've been told, you know, why is the office partisan? And the office shouldn't be partisan. Unfortunately, it's the rules are dictated by the state. I care about people. I care. I'm empathetic toward everyone. I'm very concerned as a fellow human, what's happening. And I want to bring attention to the broad public, but concerns that maybe they've looked the other way or been convinced otherwise. And so it's very difficult, but I can promise when I get into office, the last thing I'll be is partisan.
Right.
The purpose of the coroner's office is community outreach, offering business opportunities to people who support the industry, to all people in our the Arapahoe County especially, and to provide information and answers to those who've lost a loved one. And I've heard repeatedly that apparently is not necessarily the case. I'm not trying to take shots at anyone, but what I want to do day one is open up, have basically open season for all businesses. It's a free open season for all businesses in this industry to offer contracts, support contracts for review for everyone.
Okay.
And to reach out to all the support communities out there, funeral homes and grief counseling services, and make sure that victims of a family member who's passed away, that they get the answers they need and they get the help they need.
Yeah. Well, you know, having covered it again, so often the coroners play an extremely important role in a lot of cases because, granted, you won't be doing the actual autopsy, but most coroners, elected coroners, don't do the autopsies in Colorado, right?
That's correct. And on that note, I will draw one salary, and that is salary for coroner. I will not draw a second or third salary, as is the case by several coroners in the state.
Where they get paid for being the coroner, and then they get paid for being the medical examiner, and they get paid for being the secretary.
Correct.
and the dog. Yeah.
So one of our coroners makes just shy of a half a million dollars a year.
Really?
Wow.
It's the highest paid coroner in the United States.
Wow. Because they can glom onto all of those things. That just seems not.
Yeah, they have these fine. they have these other qualifications that allow them to be paid and compensated for those additional skill sets.
So one of the things though that I was
thinking is everything corrupt.
Yes, everything is corrupt. One of the things I think that's important though is as the coroner, then you sort of set the tone. I mean, I've covered so many cases where the coroner's office, like the one in Adams County, right, where it was a wealthy guy and the DA was having an affair with the victim's advocate. I mean, it was just a mess, right? And the question was, did the woman commit suicide? Was she killed? And her father was a former FBI guy. And because of the mess there, and the coroner's office said, oh, it was a suicide, but they ruled that like before she was even dead practically, right? I mean, it's the kind of thing where it doesn't matter until it matters, right? And I think if the coroner said, that's a tone from the top that we're going to let the chips fall what we may. Like you said, this is not going to be partisan. Once it's partisan, because it has to be, because the state set it up that way. But once you're in the office, because I've seen a lot of cases where the coroner's office played games and played word games and everything like that to skew a court case in a way that certain people wanted it skewed.
No, and I'm willing to take the shots for that too, because I won't stand for that. I won't tolerate any kind of level of fraud, misfeasance, or malfeasance. That's not the job of the coroner's office. The job of the coroner's office is to determine the actual causes of death and surrounding that individual's death and the circumstances. It has nothing to do with who's friend. That can't stand. And we need to stand by the principles of the office and integrity and transparency.
That's right. Well, I'm going to give you a chance here too. And Casper, thank you for put it up on, if the people are in Zoom in the chat section, you can see it. But Ron, how can people find out about you, and how can people, you have a website, I guess, why don't you tell people what that is where they can come support you?
Yes. Yes. And I'm not good at that. So Casper's helping. It's Ron number four. So Ron4Colorado.com. And then on there are links to various things, and I'm trying to keep articles up there. And I also have links to my LinkedIn page, which I've kind of left alone so people can kind of see my work history. And so my LinkedIn page isn't so much a campaigning page as it is sort of information about Ron. And I also have on my Ron for Colorado a listing of all the peer-reviewed scientific publications that I'm on, and you can find those in PubMed. And I'd be happy to talk to people about that. And most of it surrounds, as I mentioned before, apoptosis and neuronal cell death.
Did you have a contested primary at the assembly, or were you the only candidate?
No, sir. I was just myself. So I was fortunate in that way. Pardon me?
I was going to say that happened in Adams County too, where they didn't have anybody. So who knew? So you came home from the assembly and told your wife, hey, we're running for office now.
It was really strange too. And so I have my my virus tie on.
Okay.
yeah. I felt it. The Lord said, this is what you're doing. So,
okay.
And the interesting thing is I was praying last week. And I said, Lord, this is what I'm committed to doing. This is what I believe you want me to do. Please help me understand. And at that same moment, my phone rings, and it's the funeral home director from the Schmidt Funeral Home in Texas that helped me out so much. And he says, Ron, I'm thinking about coming out there and helping you campaign. because I'm looking at my schedule. I don't have it. Don't hold it to me yet, but I'm looking at my books. And I was like, that's unbelievable.
There you go. Well, I think it's
a wonderful man.
Going back to what you said earlier about, your expertise is in looking for tiny things that are hard to find. I think and going to the vaccine, what we need right now are people who are willing. You read every day, another athlete died perfectly healthy, had the vaccine, killed over of a heart attack, right? And then they're like, okay, I guess, maybe it does affect menstrual cycles. And maybe it does affect fertility. Maybe it does have caused blood clots. But what we need are people like you in positions to get some answers, right? And to say, you know what? No, I mean, just it's just unusual, but there was no reason to think it wasn't anything other than just a heart attack, or to say, you know what? And looking through the autopsy, we're finding some things and all of these people, I mean, that's where somebody like you can be so important to help people actually get some answers. So we're not just all, you know, reading the tabloids or the drive-by media to try to figure out what's going on.
Yes, absolutely. And then even within the context of the coronavirus itself, and so it's more or less, it can't be refuted now. It looks like the virus came from a lab. And even so, for example, I've had COVID twice. My wife and I have both had COVID twice, and we're fine. But there are some people who aren't fine. And there are some people who, regardless whether they had the vaccine or not, have this chronic fog or chronic sort of fatigue. They feel this really tired, worn down. And there's a lot of evidence that the virus itself affect the mitochondria in your cells. And a lot of the work that I did in publications that I'm in are looking at mitochondria and oxidative stress that can be caused to cells that can cause serious harm and can result in death. And so all of these things need to be looked into and answered. And within the context of unexplained deaths, for example, you know, this new sudden adult death syndrome.
Right.
We need to understand what's causing this and not necessarily, oh, they died because of, you know, just a sharp draw of the pen. We need to understand so that there's a better picture of how we can address the people who haven't died yet to prevent further deaths. You know, the coroner office having zero, you know, I have no work would be the greatest thing to say.
Yeah.
You know, so to put myself out of business. But, you know, that's just sort of an extreme statement. But,
right. But
we need to understand so everyone can help better protect their health.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially children.
Well, Casper, I really want to thank you for bringing your candidate
on.
Yeah,
you're great.
He seems like just wonderful candidate.
Oh, he is. Yeah, he's a good guy. So we're going to be looking into all these things once we get him elected.
We got to get him elected.
He needs some money. So if any of the folks watching, you know, can throw us a few bucks, 20 bucks, 50 bucks, whatever, to the campaign, that would be very helpful.
All right, and everybody loves you there. So, sir, thank you very much. Ron, Casper, thank you. Ron, best of luck to you. Come on. There's a lot of time between now and then. Anytime. We're happy to help you out.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
All okay. Right. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah. All right. Bye, guys. Thank you. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
you know, I think when you look at again how George Soros has twisted everything, you know, it's like, how long would it be, particularly as the vaccine questions come along, right? What do you want a bunch of coroners if you're the Democrats who are saying, oh no, nothing to see here, just sudden adult death syndrome. Who knew?
Well, as you know, I'm working on a case, civil case right now, and the one of the biggest ones is the coroner's report. And
right.
In that coroner's report, the coroner said, well, there was rumors that there was a chokehold and therefore he may have died from asphyxiation. You know, that's not what you're supposed to do.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I heard a rumor and there you go.
Like I said, I've seen many cases where the coroner's offices, it was just straightforward, right? And frankly, because many times it is pretty straightforward. But, you know, you look at what a mess cases can be when the coroner's office starts playing games with stuff and starts, you know, going off into areas or ignoring things that they shouldn't have looked at. Well, so that's Ron for Colorado. Ron, the number four Colorado.
Actually, it's not often very straightforward because, I mean, you only die because your heart gives out. You don't have oxygen, you know, but what caused you not to have oxygen? What caused your heart to stop? I mean, those are sometimes very tricky questions.
That's right.
But he sounds just the kind of person you want to.
Yeah, he sounds great. So I want to let folks know, when we come back, we'll have to talk about, maybe there'll be more information about, you know, Trump axing 50,000 administrative unelected bureaucrats who are trying to destroy America.
You know,
I hope that's true.
Getting it done, of course, the different thing. I mean, Reagan came in and said, you know, I want to get rid of the Department of Education. And this Tam Tancredo, who worked in Reagan's, and said it just grew and grew and grew because these are amoebas. You know, to get rid of amoeba is almost, but that is the type of thing That he probably next time through, he's not going to go, oh, I'm just going to, you know,
be the peacemaker.
Yeah, I hope everybody's doing well. And oh, hi, oh, you work for me. What do you do? And
yes,
and no, it'll be a different.
And
deal.
This is from Jacob. Just a couple of comments before we go, Jacob. And I agree with this. Absolutely, Jacob. The best way to get the country back on track is for conservatives to run for the smaller offices, especially school boards and sheriffs and coroner's office. Exactly. Yes. I mean, that's what the Democrats are doing. That's where they start them too. And we need to do that too. And noting that coroner's inquests have been known to be very powerful routes to change laws. Yeah. That's right. They aren't used very much in Colorado, but they can be. And that's what a coroner's inquest is when there are questions, a coroner can have an inquest. Okay. That's going to do it for us on this Party Friday. You saw Mark Poff. He's got a great series of shows lined up for next week. And then we'll be back.
I'm off to Bennington, New Jersey for the Saudis. They've invited me. They're
going to pay $10
million. $10 million, which I, you know, and oh, well, okay, $10 million is good and stuff. And most of these other guys, like that are joining
Phil Mickelson.
Well, they're old. I mean, they just don't have their game anymore. And I've got mine. So.
Yeah, well, or not. Maybe just playing in a local tournament. But
that's the alternative, of course.
But hey, everybody, can't tell you how much we appreciate all of you. Everyone who listens, everyone who subscribes to us, or signs up for the Substack emails, or likes us on Substack, around on Rumble, and Podbean. We appreciate all of you. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to Casper and Ron, and to the great guys at BBS Radio. We're off to start our Party Friday, and we
I'm starting our party week, but there's a couple of shows I gotta watch that on, you know, when I get
home. Those are great shows. We'll see you later.
Take care, everybody. Bye bye.